everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you. The on-air light, Tom Fairbanks, is now red in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Tom, it's a very unusual kind of day here weather-wise. It's unusual in the fact that we hit our high temperature for the day, 61 degrees at 12:01, 1 minute after midnight.
We're expecting it to get to around 49 later this afternoon.
Whoa! And it's snowing. One of my Facebook friends just sent me a Facebook little thing showing snow up in Prescott at this hour. So
up in the high country.
There you go. So it's a, what do they say, unsettled weather day in Arizona. We are settled in for the hour. It's Thursday. It is November the 3rd, 2022. As we say, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The radio station that we are coming to you on is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening. That means live streaming. Two places, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Our telephone interviews, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line. He is the lone Republican on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors, Steve Christie, Republican, representing the supervisorial district number 4. Supervisor Christie, how are you?
I'm just great, Bill. I always admire the way you say supervisorial, because I can't say it myself.
Oh, man. Well, that's my test for the day. I know I'm ready if I can say supervisorial. Just in a little Google search, if put in Steve Christie Tucson, and it came up, believe it or not, the dealership, and it said permanently closed. Well, how long has that been going on?
Well, I sold everything in 2007, and what I got to tell you real quickly, this story about 3 or 4 months ago, I was getting my teeth cleaned, and the hygienist was doing her duties, and she had a radio show, a musical, local musical radio show on popular music, and a commercial for another car dealer came on, and she kind of cringed and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And I thought, well, what was she sorry about? And then a minute or two passed, and she said, so how's the car business?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I sold out everything in my dealership way back in 2007. And she goes, oh, really? Well, what are you doing now? And I said, well, now I'm a county supervisor. And she goes, oh, which county? So that keeps my head on my shoulder straight whenever I think I'm a big shot, important elected official.
Boy, it is.
People remember me more for the dealership that I sold 15 years ago than for being a Pima County supervisor.
Well, I have to tell you, it happens to me very often. Oh, you're Bill Buckmaster. I love you on Channel 6. I love the TV show. My last Arizona Illustrated was December of 2010. And then I say, well, you know, I'm doing radio now. Oh, okay.
Well, all I can say is that all that marketing money and the advertising money that we spent over the decades has paid off, because people still remember me from my car business days.
Yeah, they really do. What is this news now about Tucson Police? Of course, I realize you're representing the county, but Tucson Police announced today staffing, Steve Christie, has hit an all-time low. We had the sheriff, Sheriff Nanos, on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he says that, yeah, it is difficult to get law enforcement officers, but so far our response times in Pima County, of which I am a resident, are still okay.
Well, you know, that's kind of dangling by a very thin thread, I'm sure. And I think staffing is a universal problem in all police departments. But when you take certain elements into consideration, from everything from defunding the police to lawsuits against police officers who were at that time feeling they were performing their duty properly and professionally, being thrust into jail and thrust into court cases when you have a reduction of manpower or the force itself, that puts an ever growing burden on those who remain, and that makes them more stressed out, makes them more jeopardizes the fact that they might be subject to mistakes and things of this nature. So it really, you would have to really want to be in law enforcement nowadays. Plus the pay is not good too, of course. You really want to have to be in law enforcement these days to pursue a law enforcement career. And of course there's competition among the agencies across the country with sign-up fee bonuses and things of this nature. So at a crisis stage, we are of a not a huge population. We're not in a major metro conditions, but we nonetheless are a significant population, and we need more law enforcement. And it's very difficult in this environment, in this day and age, and in these political times to attract, retain, and recruit qualified law enforcement personnel. And I'm very worried about the whole law enforcement community, and I'm worried about crime and protecting our citizenry in both Tucson and Pima County.
Are your Republican constituents in supervisorial district number 4, are they energized as we come down now to the eve of the midterm elections here?
Oh, very definitely. I sense that when I go to my various meetings throughout Green Valley and Sahuarita chamber breakfasts and lunch and Green Valley Council meetings, plus the feedback that my office receives. People are very disgruntled and have been with the current administration and the current political climate that the Democrat Party has perpetrated upon not only our country, but in Pima County as well. And people are energized. I have never seen so many people wanting to be involved in the process, particularly watching and working at the polls. They really are energized, and by all indications, I'm expecting a red tsunami. I think it's going to be a big, great day next Tuesday for the Republicans.
We will have Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher with me 24 hours from now, seated across me for our Friday Focus interview here on the Buckmaster Show, and I will be asking her if we are ready election-wise. What are you hearing at the polls? Are we ready for the election?
I make a point every Board of Supervisors meeting to have an update from both the Elections Director of Pima County and the County Recorder. I have to say that our Elections Director, Director Hargrove, has been very much available and willing to discuss all the issues. Sometimes I don't particularly agree with a lot of the direction that we've been going as far as elections are concerned, vis-a-vis voting centers and the like. But to her credit, she is knowledgeable. She's up to date. She is open to discussion as well as suggestions. So from that standpoint, I think that's a positive. On the elections, on the recorder side, she unfortunately has not been as forthcoming as the elections director. She's not come to the Board of Supervisors meeting to give reports, and there are a lot of issues that are remaining unanswered. And every time that a question or an issue or a subject about election integrity or the process remains unanswered, it lends itself to distrust and dissatisfaction in the system. And what we're trying to do, and what I've been trying to do at the board level, is to make sure that all of these questions and all of these concerns and all of these issues get addressed and get answered now before the election, because all I want is what everybody wants, and that's a safe, clean, fair election without any irregularities. And if we can't address what people are perceiving as problems or problems to be, or are perceiving as irregularities that are already taking place or will take place, and we don't nip them in the bud and address them now, it's going to lead to that same uncertainty that we've been feeling since 2020.
Well, time waits for no one, Steve Christie. 3 weeks from today, you and your family will be seated like all Americans around the table. We'll be ready for our Thanksgiving dinner. It is that time up at Mona's Danish Bakery. They are taking the dinner roll orders and the pies. What would your preference be for dessert on Thanksgiving, Steve Christie?
I like a variety, and it's not a very large variety. It's just two, pumpkin and pecan.
Okay. And as far as the dinner roll, if it's bread, you'll go for it.
Croissants are good. I like croissants.
All right. Well, Mona's Danish Bakery, now is the time to put in the order. Before you know it, it will be a very busy time up at Steve and the gang up at Mona's. So check out the website, monasdanishbakery.com, and then give them a call or stop in the next time you're at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and put in your order now for Thanksgiving. And, of course, their breakfasts. Wonderful breakfast, Tuesday through Saturday, open at 6:30, Sunday morning 7. They are now closed Sunday. More with Steve Christie. We're going to talk about the RTA and what Mr. Kasacek, what Councilman Kasacek had to say on this program 24 hours ago about his concerns about RTA next. We'll talk with Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, right after the break about that. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Welcome back. On a rather blustery afternoon in southern Arizona, Bill Buckmaster with you in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Well, just like Steve and the team up at Mona's getting ready for Thanksgiving and the holidays, they are also getting ready at Green Things. Zocalo Village has some beautiful, beautiful things from Mexico for the holiday. I don't know if you've seen these. I believe they're made out of tin. They're these silver Christmas trees that they have that are very, very decorative. Might be kind of an alternative to a live tree this Christmas. Zocalo Village is part of Green Things, 3384 East River Road. Green Things open daily, more than 50 years in business. Their website, greenthingsaz.com. The sister business, zocalovillage.com. We continue now with our conversation with Republican Steve Christie, who represents the 4th Supervisorial District on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. Yesterday at this time,
Bill?
Yes?
If I could, before we move on, and real quickly for your listeners, I just wanted to share some information regarding the voting system we're going through right now.
Okay.
The information that we've received as of 9 o'clock this morning is that the Elections Department has received 168,000 ballots from the recorder and has counted 125,000 of them. So we're well underway in the election process, and that's a sizable amount of ballots.
That's a tremendous amount of ballots, and normally the average is 9 out of 10 people in Arizona vote early ballots, and of course early voting is over, so that means a lot of people. The vote is already in for maybe 90% of the electorate. So thanks for the update.
Yeah.
On that yesterday,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No problem. You can interrupt anytime. City Councilman Steve Kasachek was on the show yesterday. Not a big fan of the RTA, and the council voted unanimously a couple of weeks ago to delay two road improvement projects, Houghton Road from Broadway to Tankerville Road and 22nd Street from I-10 to Keno Parkway, amid funding shortages. Now, you're a former chair of the RTA. Back in 2014, you were chair. You were on the first Citizens Advisory Committee in the whole drafting of the RTA, the 20-year program. You're a former board member on the Pima Association of Governments and the RTA board. What is RTA next? Well, let me put it this way. You had a editorial came out early this year saying maybe Tucson needs to be jettisoned from the plans for the RTA. Is it too late to have a Tucson-free RTA, Steve Christie?
I don't think so. It depends on, again, the actions of the city, the mayor, and the council. It's rather unfortunate that they're taking, again, this position, as my editorial stated. They've been the recipient of most of the benefits of the RTA. One thing that Council Member Kasachek keeps bringing up, and it shows, I think, a profound misunderstanding of the RTA setup and how it was founded and how it was generated, is he continuously says, well, why should we today be responsible for the situation back in 2006? In other words, how can we put any faith in what was decided and voted upon by the voters in 2006 today with the current changes that might be occurring in our population, in our travel, in our infrastructure? Well, the whole idea back in 2006 was that the voters did not want 10, 15, 18 years later to have elected officials to make decisions that the voters then made in 2006. That was the whole purpose, to prevent anybody fooling or meddling with the plan that the voters approved. So for the city council to come at this late date, so many years after the voters said, this is what we want. We don't want anybody to fool with our plan. We don't want elected officials particularly to fool with our plan. This is exactly what the voters did not want, is what is happening at the city council level. They're inserting themselves and trying to disrupt and to destroy what the voters approved and voted for in 2006. And that's why it passed, because the voters knew that when they voted for the RTA in 2006, that it was a solid, tamper-free plan. Well, now we're seeing why they voted that, because the city of Tucson is trying to tamper with the 2006 voters approved RTA plan.
Well, one of the things Steve Kasachek said is we're setting up other mayors and area city councils up 15 years from now to have this exact same conversation. They're going to run out of money.
Well, there are reasons for this, of course, with the Great Recession, and they don't like to be reminded of it, but the city council initially wanted major projects front-loaded, and they were willing to take a back seat to other projects. And that front-loading was primarily and particularly the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. That took billions of dollars, not billions, of course, that's the whole process, but a huge chunk of the money dedicated to the city of Tucson was spent immediately in installing the modern streetcar. So now, unfortunately, we've gone through some rough economic times, and it's making it difficult to complete these systems. But as far as delivering the projects, they can and will be delivered as promised. And I think the whole issue is one of control, and it's one of trying to subvert the will of the voters, and it's trying to take a sharp elbow at the county and the other jurisdictions and say, we're the big cheese here, and we're the ones that have the most say in this, or we should have the most say in this. And it's really against all of the ideas of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority.
So you think it's a power grab?
Always has been.
So how is RTA Next going to do? Do you think they can solve some of these problems?
Absolutely. I think the voters have seen the benefits of the RTA and its accomplishments and its promises kept. This community has benefited greatly with the infrastructure improvements because of the RTA and because this is what the voters wanted. This is how the plan was developed. It was processed and vetted by the community and overwhelmingly supported by the community. And the overriding issue that made that happen was the promise that, 10, 15, 18 years later, that original plan would still be in place untouched by elected officials. And we're seeing why now. This is why the voters approved it.
Well, the city voters said yes to a road improvement plan. That's a 10-year plan. Do you think that will help when RTA Next goes before voters? Do you think that they would be willing to say yes to it?
I think that if the city was truly interested in remaining with the RTA and remaining a collaborative member of PAG, that they would position what they are doing in conjunction with what the RTA is doing and what the RTA has planned for the city. There's no reason why the two items you speak to, the city of Tucson tax and the RTA, can't work in conjunction and collaboratively with each other as we progress through these plans. So it's a matter of marketing. It's a matter of merchandising. It's a matter of communicating that, yeah, you've got the city of Tucson, and they talk about that tax being voted in on. It was barely 20 or 25% of the total voters available. But anyway, it did pass. But that could be used in conjunction with the RTA plans for the benefit of not only the city of Tucson, but the region as well.
Meanwhile, the county is doing road work. I mean, you've got money for road work, and it is underway, correct?
Yeah, the PAYGO system is doing terrifically. When I first took office back in 2017, I'd say 80 to 90% of my time with constituent services dealt with road repair issues, with complaints, with potholes, with problems, on and on and on. And since we've instituted PAYGO a couple of years ago, I don't get any more complaints. I probably shouldn't be saying this right now because it's going to jinx something.
The phone is going to start ringing this afternoon.
Yeah. But instead of complaints, our office is getting thanks and compliments for the road repair that Pima County is doing. And my district in particular, not so much as District 1, Supervisor Scott's district, but my district has had a huge transformation of improvement in the condition of the roads. And I hear that all the time from my constituents. And that wasn't the way it was when I first took office. I'm here to tell you that.
All right. Won't talk to you before Thanksgiving, so want to send the very best to you and your family, Steve. I hope it's a great Thanksgiving. A lot to be thankful for, all of us.
Well, thank you, Bill, and same to you and your family.
Thank you very much. That will do it for the halfway point of the Buckmaster Show. We've got lots to come, including David Levy.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico would make a terrific weekend getaway. The blustery weather that we are having today will give way to a really nice weekend here in the Southwest. So it's only about a three-hour drive. Yes, it's cool over there today, mid-50s, but, you know, that's still not bad to do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. The website to find out more about what to do and where to stay is southwestnewmexico.org. Go to place to find out about your great upcoming visit to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With us on the live line from his observatory in Vail, Arizona, Dr. David Levy, our contributor on science and former science editor of Parade Magazine, now head of and founder of the Sharing the Sky Science Educational Organization. Dr. Levy, of course, is one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, being associated with 23 comets. Dr. Levy, how are you, sir?
Oh, it's good to hear your voice, Bill.
Thank you.
And I got your card, and really good to hear your voice in person.
Yeah, I sent you a card from kind of an antique card, actually, from up at Lake Louise in Alberta.
Yes.
Have you ever been in that part of the world?
Yes, I have, long time ago.
Oh, so beautiful.
But I've been there, and it is as beautiful as your card indicates it is.
Yeah, it's a great place. All right. Yeah. This has been a rather rich season for meteor showers.
Yes, it has been. The Orionid meteors were last month, and I saw three of them on the one night and five on the next night, and two of them were bright enough that I was able to record them on film. Then there's the Taurid meteors with slow, very bright fireballs, and I saw one two nights ago and one last night, and or was it three nights ago and one two nights ago? Anyway, the Leonids will be later in November, and that was the meteor shower that Wendy and I really enjoyed in 2001, when in one night we counted over 2,000 meteors.
Oh, you got to be kidding. 2,000?
Yeah, that was called a meteor storm. That was when the Earth encountered the very thick, dense strand of dust from Comet Temple Tuttle.
Speaking of comets, I understand there is a brightening comet in the sky.
Well, there is one, but, Bill, I've forgotten the name of it. And I'm going to try to get it on the next clear night. But it's supposed to be not visible with the naked eye, but with a telescope. But I'm going to just have to look up on Sky and Telescope or something to find out what it is, because I've plumb forgotten it.
We have a moon that is waxing.
Yes, we do. Every night it gets brighter and brighter and brighter.
And associated with, I guess, the upcoming full moon will be a lunar eclipse, correct?
Yeah, I believe it's next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The night of full moon will be a beautiful lunar eclipse. We're going to be one of the best places in the world to see it. If you're in New York or Montreal, you'll see it just before dawn. But here it'll be quite a bit earlier. I think it starts around midnight. And it's going to be really beautiful. It's a total eclipse of the moon. And what's interesting about it is that earlier this year, we've had a lot of volcanic eruptions. So it may be an unusually dark eclipse. So let's all watch for that.
I wonder if that's one of the reasons we've just been having spectacular sunrises and sunsets over the last few nights and mornings here in Tucson.
Well, maybe, maybe not. I'm really not sure of that.
Yeah.
But we certainly have had a lot of interesting sky views to see lately. Yes, you're right.
Time for the Dr. David Levy quote of the month on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Levy, what do you have for our listeners this month?
Well, this is a poem that almost all of your listeners are familiar with. It's John Keats's On First Looking into Chapman's Homer. And what I did was, a few months ago, I was able to look at a very beautiful part of the Milky Way in Sagittarius. It is called Bada's Window. It's a place where all of the dust and gas of stars being formed kind of empties out, and you can have a view into the center of a galaxy. And here it goes. Much have I traveled in the realms of gold, and many goodly stars and clusters seen. Round all the celestial islands have I been, with eyepiece on telescope to the night sky hold. Oft of what wide expanse had I been told, that Galileo ruled as his domain. Yet did I never breathe its pure serene till I heard Walter Botta speak out loud and bold. Then felt I like some watcher of the skies when a new planet swims into his ken. Through his majestic window looks upon the Milky Way. He stared at the center of our galaxy like a diamond shining in the sky with a wild surmise, silent through the mists of space and time.
Very nice.
Thank you.
How is Orion doing? I always associate Orion with the holiday season coming up.
It's coming up. You get a good view of it around 10 o'clock now as it's coming up in the east, as Robert Frost said, throwing a leg over the back fence.
And you mentioned Sagittarian. Being a December baby, I'm always interested in Sag.
Yeah, Sagittarius is really a beautiful cluster. And these nights, early in the evening, you see it high in the west, in the southwestern sky. Easy to see.
All right, Dr. David Levy, I hope you have a lovely Thanksgiving coming up. Always a pleasure speaking
with you. Thank you, and you too, Bill.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll pause right here. The counselor is in the house. Mr. Don Luce, boy, we've got a lot to talk about here as Election Eve quickly approaches. Be right back with Don.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio. A lot to unpack with our legal contributor, Attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group, with beautiful offices here in Tucson and Phoenix. Mr. Luce is the legal contributor for the show and author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. And we all need to know about estate planning, believe me. Both books in their second printing. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks.
Boy, let's get right at it. This Arizona ballot box drop dust up. Give us the summary. What's going on?
You bet. Let's start with the understanding that ballot boxes are located in various locations for the convenience of the voters who want to drop off their ballot as opposed to mailing it back. In Maricopa County, there are two drop boxes. One is located in Mesa, which I think most of your listeners know is a city east of Phoenix. And the other one is located downtown at the Maricopa County Tabulation and Election Center. Well, over the past couple of weeks, voters who have been using these drop boxes to drop their ballots have complained that they're feeling intimidated by observers who are sometimes videotaping and other times taking photographs of them and their vehicles and their license plates. Some of these observers have worn body armor. Others have visible, guns, sidearms, that sort of thing. And so what happened is a group that in this particular case that we are going to talk about, led by the League of Women Voters, brought a federal lawsuit against a group called Clean Elections USA. Clean Elections USA was sort of behind several of these people who were supposedly monitoring the drop boxes. They say to prevent against mass dumps of ballots. So I guess in the parlance of this group, they're preventing against mules, that's their word, bringing a large number of ballots to the box and dumping them in the box.
And they're hoping this group to catch it on video or...
Apparently. Whatever.
Yeah.
Apparently. But the practical effect, I think, is that many voters felt intimidated by their presence. They were, relatively close to the location of the box. They were taking photographs. They were videotaping activity.
Some were wearing masks.
Well, yes, but aren't a lot of people wearing masks these days?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
But I think more. And there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask.
No.
But if it's also accompanied by body armor and AK-47, then that's a different deal.
Yeah.
And so the League of Women Voters filed suit in federal court in Phoenix seeking to prevent this group or its members from being so close to the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, the federal judge, whose name is Michael Liberti, denied the request, saying that there is a conflict here between the First Amendment, which gives every citizen the right freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom to express his or her political views versus the right to vote without intimidation, right? So you have the First Amendment competing against the right to vote without intimidation. And last week, the federal judge found that the First Amendment won. The First Amendment trumped the right to vote without intimidation. But the finding was based upon sort of a lack of evidence presented by the plaintiffs. So the Biden administration, through the U.S. attorney in Arizona, joined the lawsuit, and the judge gave the plaintiffs another opportunity to essentially prove their case. And what happened earlier this week is that the plaintiff brought into court voters who testified that they were casting their ballots in a lawful manner, they were being either videotaped or photographed or in some other way, I don't want to use the word harassed because I don't think there was evidence of harassment, but the mere presence of these armed people was sufficient for the judge to say, okay, I am going to grant a temporary restraining order, right? It's going to last for 2 weeks. It went into effect November 1st, and so it'll expire 2 weeks from that date. And I'm going to order that anyone from this group who is wearing body armor or is brandishing a weapon has to stay with no closer than 250 feet from the ballot box or the entrance to the building where the ballot box is located. Now, anybody else in this group has to stay within 75 feet. So 75 feet is considered the zone of protection, right? And that's, I think, what this group was using to say, we have done nothing wrong. We have not been closer than 75 feet. So we have the right to wear body armor. There's no law against that. We have the right to brandish weapons. In Arizona, most people have that legal right. And so why would we be prohibited from being outside of the zone of protection just because, you know, we have guns and we're wearing body armor? The judge didn't agree with that. He said, no, in this instance, we now have evidence that voters who were lawfully casting ballots felt intimidated by your presence. And so he basically set up a no firearm zone, which is now 250 feet. But the interesting thing about this case, in my opinion, is that it applies only to this group and it doesn't apply to other people in other groups who may...
So you'd have to be a member of this particular group for this to take effect.
Because this temporary restraining order is specifically directed to Clean Elections USA, its leader, whose name is Melody Jennings, and anyone working with them. Okay, so if you, and I know you would never do this, but if you wanted to monitor the ballot box and you happen to be brandishing a firearm, I don't believe that this order would prohibit you from going within the no firearm zone because you weren't a party to this lawsuit. But nonetheless.
Weird. That is weird.
Nonetheless, that's what happened. It happened earlier this week, and it adds to the narrative in Arizona about the issues surrounding voting.
And there is an issue surrounding a full ballot count, full ballot hand count, and Cochise County is the epicenter of this, Don Luce.
It is. Interestingly, Pima County is involved tangentially because earlier this week, a lawsuit was filed to prohibit hand counting in Cochise County. But because Cochise County officials were named in the lawsuit, and I believe two of the supervisors who voted in favor of hand counting were the named defendants, that lawsuit was moved to Pima County. So it's here in Tucson. Now, some background on hand counting. Hand counting is not unique. When you're using a machine to do the primary count, hand counting has always been a way to essentially sample the result. But historically, hand counting has involved only a small percentage of the ballots, not all of the ballots.
Yes.
And hand counting has, I think, given some assurance to people that the machine count is accurate if it matches the machine count with respect to the sample. But that's not what we're talking about. In Cochise County, the Board of Supervisors voted to approve a full hand count in addition to the machine count. So if 100,000 votes were cast, whether they're mail-in ballots or whether they're in-person ballots, then all of those ballots would also be hand counted. So they'd go through the machine first, and then they'd be hand counted again. Not again, but they'd be hand counted in addition to the machine count. The machine count would constitute the official vote. The hand count hopefully would be consistent with the machine count. But then again, what if it's not? What if the hand count were really different than the machine count?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what? I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know that that's even within the realm of realism. But if it happened, that would raise a lot of issues then about the accuracy of the machines. Now, so what's the legal background on this? The Secretary of State, who's the chief elections officer of the state of Arizona, Katie Hobbs, who's also a gubernatorial candidate on the Democrat Party, says that you cannot hand count all of the ballots. You can't do it. You can hand count some of the ballots, but only election day ballots. You can't hand count the mail-in ballots. Well, as we've discussed on previous shows, 80 to 90% of the ballots are mail-in. So if that position were adopted, then only a small percentage of the total ballots could be counted. Our attorney general, who is the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Arizona, and also of a different political party than our Secretary of State, issued an opinion a few days ago that said all ballots can be hand counted. They're not limited to just the in-person election day ballots. They can include the mail-in ballots. And so, armed with that opinion of the Attorney General, the Board of Supervisors in Cochise County said, through a vote of its majority, we are going to hand count all of the ballots. Now, on Monday, a lawsuit was filed to stop that. I don't know how the lawsuit is going to turn out, but that issue is being litigated currently as we speak.
It's a mess, and it could really delay kind of official results of this election, couldn't it?
Potentially. There's a case in Nevada where they started a hand count and then the court stopped them.
Yeah.
But what I understand is that that hand count took a lot longer than anybody had anticipated. In Cochise County, I think that they're going to be hand counting, if they're allowed to do this, over 100,000 ballots. Now, I don't know how long it takes to hand count a ballot, but I remember when I mailed my ballot in last week, there were a lot of circles on that ballot that were filled in with black or blue ink.
Right.
And to hand count over 100,000 of those probably is going to take a lot of time. In addition to which, not more than 75% of the people doing the counting can be of the same party. So the Democratic Party and the Republican Party each have to offer volunteers to participate in this hand count.
Oh, boy.
The Democrats have said that they're not sure that, well, the Democratic Party in Cochise County initially was unsure whether it was going to offer the volunteers. It eventually decided to offer the volunteers, and that's when the lawsuit was filed to stop the process.
Okay, Don, we're going to have to leave it right there. And, of course, Arizona Prop 309 is about voter ID and requirements for mail-in ballots. So it's right on the ballot, too.
Yeah, so 309 would require additional information about the voter, both mail-in and at the poll.
All right, Don Luce with law offices in Tucson and Phoenix. Don, thanks very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of attorney Don Luce and Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster saying, hope you have a great afternoon.